I'm sorry about that. I should have made you guys stand and dismiss for Kingdom Kids, but I really thought Paul was going to say it, and then I'd mess things up again. So anyway, I apologize for that. It's so good to see everyone here. It looks like we've got a great crowd this morning. We want to welcome our visitors and guests, and we also want to welcome those of you who are joining us live for our worship as well. Right now, we're in a series that's all about the heart of God. And really what we're talking about in this series is things that are important to God and really things that should be important to us as well. For example, in week number one, we talked about how God has a heart for all mankind, so much so that He sent His one and only Son to die on a cross for our sins so that no one has to be lost. No matter who you are or what you've done, if you come to Jesus, you can be saved. God also, this is week number two, God also, we saw, has a heart for our home. And I'm not talking about our physical structure. I'm talking about our families. And God gives us His Word to show us how our families can be blessed and really how our families can go on and be a blessing and make a difference in this world. And then last week, we talked about how God has a heart for His church. So much so in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says that He purchased the church with His very own blood. That's what we celebrated this morning, the fact that Jesus died for us. He died for the church. And one of the things that's very important to God is that His church stays unified. Because if we don't have unity, then people really can't see the love of God. Right? And so at the heart of God, there's unity for His people. Now, if you've got your Bibles with you this morning, you can go ahead and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at verse 6. And we're just going to look at something else that is really important to God, that's really on His heart. This is what it says. And without what, church? Say it out loud. Without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must what, church? Must believe, must trust that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And so notice what the Hebrew writer says. Without faith, think about this. It is impossible to please God. Now, as we search the Scriptures, we also see the big three. And when I mention the big three, I'm not talking about Shadrach, and Abednego. I'm not talking about Peter, James, and John. I'm not even talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we like to call the what? The love chapter, right? And even if you didn't grow up going to church and you would say, man, I really don't know anything about the Bible, I guarantee you, you've probably been to a wedding ceremony where the minister used this particular chapter. Love is kind and love is patient, and it's not jealous, it's not boastful, it's not rude, it doesn't keep record of wrong, and it goes on and on and on. Paul talking about what love is and what love is not. And then at the very end, we see the big three, right? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now these three things remain. Everything else is going to be taken away, right? But these three things will always remain. What's number one, church? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so something else that's at the heart of God, something else that is so important to God is our faith. In fact, write this down this morning. God wants us to live by faith through every season of life. Now, I really believe that the different seasons of life can be illustrated by different modes of transportation. When we're little, like my grandson, Ryder, and by the way, this is his, this is not mine, okay? Julie and I bought this for him just the other day. But when we're little and we're first trying to walk, we start off with a baby walker, right? And Ryder, look how cute this kid is, man. He gets on this thing, he grabs the little handles, and man, he scoots off and he goes. And then we kind of graduate from the baby walker to these battery-operated machines. This is a really cool, this is probably the coolest one I've ever seen. This is a Star Wars ship. And this also is my grandson Ryder's. I actually got this for him before he was born. The neighbors were wanting to get rid of this, and so I talked him into giving it to me, and so I really just can't wait to see my grandson riding around in one of these. And it's through these battery-operated machines that they kind of learn how to steer, right? And then from there, we graduate to our first bike. Now, some bikes are typically, when we begin riding, we start off with training wheels. But then once the training wheels are gone, man, we're able to move up to a bigger bike. And it's when we start riding the big bike, when we let go of the training wheels, that we really begin to experience freedom as a kid. I remember, man, when I moved up to my first bicycle like this, all of us kids in the neighborhood, we started riding down to the nearby gas station, and they had an arcade, and we would go in there on Saturdays and we would play for hours and eat. We would eat candy and chips and Coke, and man, we thought we were big stuff, right? Because we could take off and we could go and we were free. But then we move from one of these to, where is it? Right over here. Skateboard, right? How many of you had a skateboard growing up? Three people? This is like the most unathletic group of people I've ever seen in my life. I had a skateboard, and I got to tell you, I was pretty good at it. I mean, when I got to be a teenager, man, that's what I did. It was like the coolest thing ever. This is my daughter Charleston's skateboard. And I thought about a year and a half ago, maybe close to 2 years now, I thought as I watched her ride one of these a couple of years ago around the neighborhood that maybe I could do that again. And so Julie and I were walking beside her, and she's skateboarding, and finally I was like, honey, let me give that thing a try. And so these things are just, if you've never ridden a skateboard, which evidently the majority of you haven't, but anyway, you get on these things and they're real wobbly. And so when I first got on it, I was like, whoa, man, I don't remember this, and I'm going real slow, and then I'm like, hey, okay, I'm getting it back. And then I don't recall what happened after that. The board shot out from under me. I don't know how high in the air I went, and I landed flat on my back, not the breath out of me. Charleston and Julie, they come running. They're like, are you okay? And finally, after I got my breath, I'm like, all right, I'm all right. Let me get up. And I got up, and I'm looking around, make sure none of the neighbors saw me. I mean, just extremely embarrassed. But man, like when I was a teenager, this was it, right? I loved it. Now, I will admit that this is probably the wobbliest season of life. When you start getting into those teenage years and you don't know what's happening, especially with your body, your voice starts to change, you get pimples, you start caring about what other people say and how you look, and it's just a very insecure season of life. And then you graduate to a vehicle. Right? I mean, that day when you finally go out and you pass your driver's license, you pass your driver's test, and your mom and dad say, you know, I think we need some milk or we need some juice. And man, you're like, I'll go get it. Let me go to the store and get it. And so every chance you get, man, you're jumping in the car. And even if it's just running errands for mom and dad, you want to drive everywhere you can. What was your first vehicle? Mine was a Toyota truck. Big wheels, four-wheel drive. You young people won't know what this is, but it had a CB in it. Very close to a car phone. Like, if you had a big antenna like I had, if people were close enough and in range, you could talk to them on this thing. But the coolest thing of all is the bench seat. And see, you young people, you don't understand what that is. All you know is the bucket seat. This thing had a bench seat so that you could keep one hand on the wheel and the other hand around your girlfriend. And let me tell you something, Julie Fears, she loved it. And then things changed. She ended up on the other side of the vehicle, and this time it became a minivan. And everywhere you had old McDonald's French fries and silly putty stuck to the seat and melted crayons, because now we had kids. Kids who were saying, when are we going to get there? How much further? And this season of life can be extremely challenging.
Life is good.
It is good. But then they're gone. And then the next thing you know, you find yourself driving around with some old person. Going out to eat dinner around 4 p.m. And the things just don't work like they used to. Things start falling apart. And you begin to realize that you're getting older. And then you get to the point to where, as a child, now you're taking care of your parents. And some of you may be in that phase of life. I know Julie and I are, as far as my mom and dad, their health has been declining. And so my brother and my sister and myself, we moved my mom and dad down here to Vero Beach because it's only a little over an hour away from me. My brother lives in Vero. My sister now lives in Vero as well, because we want to make sure that we take care of our parents. And now Julie and I, we're in the process of moving her mom down here. She's been having health issues as well, and so we want her down here with us so that we make sure that we're able to take care of her as well. And so really, if you want to sum it all up, all these seasons of life you have, from the walker, right, to the walker. And maybe this is where some of you are at right now, and this can be a really challenging season as well. But honestly, here's the deal. As you look at all these different seasons of life, every single one of them can be challenging in their own way, right? And really, as we step back, there's several things that we can learn from all these different seasons. First of all, number one, and this is so important, life is short. How many of you have begun to realize that now? I mean, it's like life goes by like this. I'm talking to my daughter, Lena, just the other day, and she's like, I can't believe it. Next month, Ryder is going to be one year old. And she's like, I'm blown away by this. And I said, just wait, honey. I said, you will blink and the next thing you know, he'll be five. And you'll blink again and the next thing you know, he'll be 13. You'll blink again and the next thing you know, he'll be graduating from high school. And you'll blink again and the next thing you know, he's married and he's gone. And it happens that fast. Right? Maybe they'll listen to you. How many of you have ever gotten up in the morning and you're off to work or you're off to take the kids to school and there's fog? Just really thick fog. But then the sun starts to come out and very quickly the sun begins to burn all that fog away. And in James chapter 4, verse 14, James uses this to really compare to something else that you and I, we can relate to. He says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like, here's the comparison, like the morning fog. It is here a little while, and then it is what, church? It's gone. How many of you have ever heard of a character by the name of Moses from the Old Testament? Moses is recorded in the book of Psalms as praying this prayer. He says, teach us to number our days and recognize how what, church? How few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. And man, Solomon really got this, didn't he? Solomon, if you're not aware of who he is, he was this king in the Old Testament, and he wrote a journal called Ecclesiastes. And in this journal, he wrote down all of his failures and his mistakes, all the things that he wished he had done, and all the things he wished he hadn't have done. And he gets to the conclusion in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, and this is what he says. He says, remember, As I conclude all of this, he says, this is what I want you to remember. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. In other words, remember God. Look to God in the bike days and the skateboard days and in the days when you're just getting your license. Remember God. Remember Him in your youth before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. And then he goes on in this same chapter to really give some poetic imagery of what the aging process is like. Verse 2, he says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. He's talking about how we often deal with bouts of depression and loneliness and even feelings of uselessness as we get older. And then he goes on in verse 3 to say, when the keepers of the house tremble, what's he talking about there? As we get older, our hands start to get shaky. And the strong men stoop. In other words, our back starts to give way. And so we're having to go to the chiropractor all the time. Or maybe some of us in our old age are starting to face surgery. He says, when the grinders cease because they are few. What's he talking about? Yeah, our teeth. Eventually, as we get older, our teeth starts to break down and oftentimes they fall out. And those looking through the windows grow dim. How many of you in your old age are now wearing glasses? My wife had perfect eyesight till she got into her 40s. And so now she's having to wear glasses. I've always just needed glasses for distance. But this past week, I went to the eye doctor and he said, Slate, he said, I hate to tell you this. He said, but your eyes are starting to go down. And he said, we're going to have to put you in transitions. Not only are you going to need glasses for distance, but you're going to need them to read as well. And he says, that's just what happens as you get older. And he says, it's going to get worse. He goes on in verse 4. He says, when the doors to the streets are closed and the sound of grinding fades. In other words, you get to a point in your old age that you're no longer able to work. Or maybe you are able to work, but the opportunities are not there for you now that you're older. That's what happened to my dad. He was no longer to keep up at the job where he was at because of his health. And so he decided he was going to try and find something a little lighter, maybe a door greeter, or maybe to work at Publix as a bagger. And all these different places he went, they said, sorry. They said, you're just overqualified. Which means you've gotten too old. And he had to retire. He says, when people rise up at the sound of the birds, how many of you have noticed the older you get, the earlier you get up? And he says, but all their songs grow faint. In other words, those birds that are chirping, guess what? You can't hear them. Because in your old age, your hearing is starting to fade. And then in verse 5, he says, when people are afraid of heights. In other words, I'm not getting up on that ladder. I was talking to Ron this morning, and he said, I'm not getting up on that roof. And of the dangers in the street, you got all these deadbolts on your door now. And how many of you have got one of those Ring doorbells to check out who's outside because you're kind of fearful? When the almond tree blossoms, in other words, your hair starts to turn gray, and the grasshopper drags itself along, in other words, your energy is starting to fade in your old age, and desire no longer is stirred. And for those of you who are adults, I'll let you figure that one out on your own. Then people go to their eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. And it all happens in a flash. Right? It all happens very quickly because life is so short. And so Solomon says, connect with your Creator now. Connect with the lover of your soul. Get to know Him now so that you can spend your whole life experiencing His goodness and His grace and His peace. Because here's the second thing that we learn from all these seasons of life. Life is short, but God is so faithful. Isn't He? I mean, as you look around at all these different seasons, all of them have all these different changes that come with it, right? But here's the thing, Jesus never changes. In fact, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrew 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and what, church? And forever. Even in this constant changing world, Jesus is rock solid, never changing, consistent, immovable, faithful. As we sang this morning, and true, He keeps His promises. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not human that He should lie, not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? And really, this is just a rhetorical question. Of course not. He has a perfect track record for keeping His promises. A claim that none of us, even the best of us, cannot lay claim to. And so the Hebrew writer goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be, what, church? Can be trusted. Do you trust God? Listen, live by faith. Some of you right now, you're in a season of life where, man, it's just extremely hectic. You're like, man, I've got all this going on at work and the kids. Don't even get me started on the kids. And can I just say to those of you who are parents right now, man, cherish that time. It's like all of a sudden I have two daughters and they're married. And my youngest daughter will be 18 in October. And the baby of the family, Shepherd, he's now wearing 11 and a half size shoe like his dad. And he's almost as tall as I am. And his voice is definitely deeper than mine. But all I can think about is just yesterday they were babies. And so cherish that time. Sit on the floor and just play with them. Crawl into bed with them and read them a Bible story and pray over them. Use this time in your life to pour into your kids so that they can remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Now I realize that there may be some of you who are thinking, well, Slate, that's wonderful and that's great, but I can't have kids. And we've wanted kids for years, and it's just heartbreaking for me and my spouse, and we've cried about it. Which makes me think about Psalm 56, verse 8, where God says, I keep your tears in a bottle. In other words, I know what you're going through. And I care. And just know that God can make unexpected things happen to fulfill the desires of your heart and soul in other ways. I've seen it happen. And so just trust Him. Live by faith. He keeps His promises. He is faithful in that season with you. And I know that this morning we have some kids who are probably still in the room. And I just want to say to you, be a kid. Get on that bike and ride. But be a good friend. And be a good teammate. And be respectful. Be a good student. And be who God wants you to be and just enjoy life. Don't grow up too fast. And can I say to you, parents, don't make your kids grow up too fast. I know of some parents who, before their kids are even born, they already have their college and what they're going to be already planned out for them. Just let them be a kid. Let them have fun. Let them enjoy life and experience the joy of being a child. Some of you this morning, you're in junior high. And I just want you to know that God loves you so much. So don't let a mirror, don't let a scale, don't let a social media post define who you are. Know that you are special and you are loved by the one who matters most. And I know that, man, things are worse for you than they ever were for me in junior high, but I want you to know that God is with you and He is walking with you through all of that. And so live by faith, trust in Him. Some of you this morning, you're in high school and you've just got your license. And you're experiencing a little bit of freedom and a little bit of independence. And let me say to you, keep living for your Creator. Because just know that He goes everywhere with you. And can I say this? If you're a Christian, young people, understand and know that He's not just with you. He is actually living inside you. You take Him with you everywhere you go. And so live in the awareness of His presence in your life when you're at school, when you're at practice, when you're at work. Just know that He's going with you. and hear Him saying to you, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Just know, teenagers, that what you do and where you go is not near as important as who you are becoming. And so let God live in you. Let God shape you and transform your life so that one day you can be the right person who's in the right place serving His right and divine purposes. Maybe right now you're a parent of a child that's getting ready to go off to college, or maybe your kids have already left for college and the nest is empty. And it's like, man, what do I do now? I mean, do I really have a purpose now? And the answer is yes. In fact, now that your children are gone, now you have a greater opportunity to serve other people. Live the rest of your life serving other people. And listen to me, you can experience fulfillment and purpose like you have never experienced before. And research bears that out, that some of the happiest people on the planet are the people who serve others, because that's the way God created us to be. And it doesn't matter what age you are. Growing up in the little town of Hamilton, Alabama, at our church, we had something very similar to Kingdom Kids, except it was called Little Church. And for years, it was taught by a lady by the name of Miss Cashin. Now, Miss Cashin had taught my sister, she had taught my brother, and then it got to the point to where she taught me. And by the time she got to me, she had to be upper 70s, early 80s. But all of us children, man, we loved Miss Cashin. In fact, whenever there were any other type of events at church, we fought over who was going to get to sit by Miss Cashin. And during whatever it was that was going on, she was passing us little marshmallows and snacks. And we just loved her because we knew she loved us. And she had this deep love for the Lord. I was telling Laurie Benedict just the other day, man, she would get us kids together at Little Church and we would sing songs about the Lord, and she would teach us Bible lessons. And I mean, even though I was so small, I still remember the lesson that she taught on the barren fig tree. And that particular day, she brought us all fig Newtons so that we would know what a fig actually tasted like. And man, that was big stuff. But she continued to serve the Lord. And I think that if she was here today, I think what you would hear her say, if you were to ask her why, why did you serve the Lord so long, so faithfully? I think what you would hear her say is because God has been so faithful to me through every season of life. And I realize you young people, you don't get it yet. I know, because I didn't get it at your age. But those of you who are older and you've been there, you've been through the storms of life and you've weathered them, you can say, and you know because you've experienced it personally, the faithfulness of God in your life. I know I have, from losing a child to difficult times financially to some of my other children just being seriously ill and sick. I have witnessed and I have seen the faithfulness of God in my life so many times. And it's through that I'm able to have and to hold on to my faith. And here's what faith does for us as children of God. And I know I'm out of time, and I'll close out with this. But Romans 15, verse 3, this is awesome. Our hope comes from God. May He fill you with what, church? With joy and what? Peace, because you what? You trust Him. Do you want to have joy in your life? Shake your head yes if you do. Okay, a few of you do. Thank you. How many of you want to have some peace in your life? I would hope that every single one of us would want to have both of those things. And look how those things come about when we learn to put our trust, our faith, in the One who is so faithful and good to each and every one of us. Brennan Manning once said, "To trust is to be convinced of the reliability of God." And I've witnessed and I've experienced it for myself that our God is trustworthy. He's reliable. Let's close out with prayer this morning, and then we'll have our invitation. And if there's something you want us to pray about, maybe you're struggling in your faith, you can put that on the cross up here this morning. Our elders will pray for you. I'll pray for you. Or if you want the congregation to pray for you, you can come forward this morning and ask for prayers. There may be someone here this morning who, man, you're ready to go all in. You've experienced the love and the trust, or the faithfulness of God, and you're ready to put your life in His hands by putting on Christ in baptism, having all your sins completely washed away. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Acts 22, 16. You're ready to live for Him. And I'll tell you, there's no greater decision than you can make is to put your faith in the One who is so faithful. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for letting us be here this morning to worship You. You are truly worthy of our worship, God. You are so faithful and so good in so many ways, physically, spiritually, materially. I mean, You're just always there providing for us, taking care of us, and even through those storms and rough times that we experience in life, You're there holding our hands, walking through with us, giving us the strength to endure and to keep on keeping on. God, sometimes our faith can be challenged. As we look around at the world today, things that happen in our own life, our faith can be challenged. And God, we're just asking You to give us the strength to be able to hold on to that faith. Help us, Father, to remember to always look back to the different seasons of our lives where You have just always seen us through and taken care of us. Help us, Father, to trust You. And Father, we're just so thankful for Your love and Your faithfulness to us. And we pray this prayer in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. If there's someone who needs to respond this morning, won't you come together? We stand as we